Hello everyone and welcome to the round two trade targets and a preview live stream. The first round preview live stream, I think it is, for the 2024 season. So very exciting. I have told members of my household to not turn on the microwave while I'm streaming because I don't want what happened on Sunday to happen again. But hopefully you guys can hear me okay, see me okay. And of course, let me know if any issues pop up during the stream. I have changed some settings on my back end to hopefully not make that dropout happen. But yeah, hopefully everything goes smoothly. So I think lots to get into for TLT round two. Quickly say, we'll say hello to a few people in the chat. Roger Duckling, The Beer Baron, Moz Steven, Galway, Logan, Jason Yang. I miss you dearly, Jason. I missed you a lot as well. I think I seem to remember last year you had a birthday on one of my streams, so we had to give you a big shout out. And then I think Tom J came in with a 50 membership gift, as he always did. James Morris, Ian Johnson, as always, Mr. Callio, Flabbits Cricket. Great to see some repeat viewers, which is always nice to see. And hello, of course, to any new ones. Streaming a little bit earlier today, but I was able to manage it at this time today, which is good. And yeah, front row forward conundrums, can see that in the chat a few times. Help us with our front row forward. Take me back in time to when I could have had Cotter and May as my front row forward. Moz, I feel ya. What I had Tyrell May in my one of my last team videos, and switched to Spencer Lenu when I heard he may get extra minutes, and that's just going to cost me a trade, which is a bit frustrating, but that's how things work. But yeah, heaps to get into. So we will go through obviously all of your questions ideally, and some of the hot topics from the week as well. So let's get straight into it. But yeah, guys, keep the questions coming in. We will try to cover most of your questions in certain categories. So if you've got questions about certain sections, pop them in at that time. And then towards the end, hopefully we have time to do a bit of a dedicated Q&A. Microwaves are banned, absolutely. NRL Phantom, welcome as a member. NRL Phantom, appreciate that so much. I've seen you around as well on Twitter. I'm very active there as well. So great to see you here on the YouTube as well. And yeah, thank you so much for your support being a member. A couple of plugs maybe just before I get into everything. So do follow me on Instagram. Hopefully there's a link in the description below. If not, just go search for Amar Talks NRL Supercoach on Instagram. You should be able to find me. Posting a lot more there, doing a lot more of my Amar walks, just random thoughts when I'm walking the dog. I find that's the best time for my thinking. I just post whatever is in my head at the time. So check me out on Instagram there. Twitter as well, I'm very active as well. And then of course on the YouTube, do please like and subscribe the stream if you do enjoy the content. I'll quickly show off my trade planner spreadsheet as well. I think I wanted to quickly show when I get to my team what I'm thinking of doing for the next couple of weeks. So that's also still something that you can get your hands on. So I'll show that briefly as well. But yeah, otherwise, that's probably it for the plugs. Benny G, I'll follow you anywhere, buddy. Benny, you're an absolute legend. Good to see you here as well. So very quickly, what I scored last week, 868. Not a great score. Obviously, I'm ranked like 50,000, but it was a pretty poor week for a lot of people. So I'll take it. And to be honest, I'm actually not that upset with my team. Like the Spencer Lenu and Jai Aram issues is obviously frustrating, but like it's kind of easier not to have to think about it. I know that I need to sell them effectively. So straight out of my team. It's more the replacement, so I'm having a bit more difficult time thinking about it. Stephen Cole, first time Supercoach, first time viewer. I'm so invested. Stephen, love to hear that. Welcome to Supercoach, and yeah, goodbye your social life. You'll spend a lot more time thinking about stats and footy than probably you even thought you could. So yeah, sometimes a bit of a gripe in my own personal life, but look, we all love footy and we all love Supercoach. That's why we're all banded around together. But yep, that's how I scored last week. Moz, thank you so much. $3. As sad as round one was, keen for the season ahead. Thank you so much, Moz. You've been there from the very beginning, so really appreciate that. Is that a one-year anniversary of being like a member or something? I don't know what that is, but I love-hearted it. Thank you so much, Moz, for that. Oh, it's your first super on a live stream. That's what it tells me. Oh, thank you so much, Moz. Yes, and a quick thing on the league as well. Do join my league. The code is 673281. Hopefully there's an auto-join link in the description as well. Quick shout out to Natalie of the team name Y Luai Y. I'm going to guess you're a Penrith Panthers fan and you may be upset that Luai is moving to the Tigers, or you're a Tigers fan who doesn't want him and you're upset about him joining them in 2025. But 1-1-5-1, huge score last week. But do join the league, because I've got a couple of things I do want to give away at some point. So of course, let me just quickly switch screens so you guys can see this. So I've got some beautiful KFC socks. Who wouldn't want to get their hands on these? That's there for someone to get. got a nice little Supercoach stubby holder. What does it say? What does it say? It says KFC Supercoach. I'll drink to that. Yeah. So if anyone of you obviously like to, you know, have a drink or two with your when you're watching the footy, this can go right with that. Got an actual footy as well. You can see that there too. So that's all stuff that I'm wanting to give away. And this isn't sponsored, but a quick shout out to Swish as well, who do those kind of athlete shout out videos that you can pay for, and then you get athletes to shout out specific people. So maybe you've got a family member who's like a massive fan of a certain player. You can get that player to wish them like a happy birthday message. They're also happy to potentially contribute a $100 voucher as well. So a few things on offer this year in the league. So do get joining as well. That's just a free to join league. It's just an overall league. I think I've stopped entries after round 3. So do definitely join in the next couple of weeks, and then after that. That league I think is going to get closed off. I may extend that to round 4, round 5, but yeah, do get joining in that league if you haven't already. Michael Bryer, 14 months here, appreciate that so much. And yeah, shout out of course to all the members. No additional content really from that, just your way of showing support. But I think that's probably enough of the plugs and things like that. If you join after round 1, Darren, that's fine. You can join after round 1 and your score will still count. So say if you scored 1,000 points last week, that should still count to your overall position in the ladder, but obviously I want to cut that league off somewhat early in the season. Otherwise people who maybe are killing it would just decide to join any league because all of a sudden they shoot straight to the top. We want to try to reward people who've been there from the beginning, ideally. Very quick message as well, just on price changes, just for anyone who is new out there. You know, obviously round 1 we're on a not necessarily tilt, maybe tilt, because we've had a pretty poor scoring week, but you know, if you're looking at people scoring really big negative break evens, you're thinking, wow, I need to start jumping on players to make money. Do remember that round 1 is the least relevant for the first set of price changes that will occur. That's because price changes are based, of course, on a 3-round rolling average, and that round 1 score is the first one to drop out of someone's 3-round rolling average. I've mentioned this a few times in the past. I think I even mentioned it on the Sunday stream, but it's worth bearing in mind, you know, someone like a Zach Labor scored really well last week, 101 or 103 points, I believe, but if he then goes, you know, 45, that 101 is then going to drop out of his 3-round rolling average first, and then all of a sudden he's going to be having a break even based on like a 45 and whatever he gets in his fourth score. Whereas if you got 45, 101 in round 3, that 101 would stay in there for 2 rounds longer than the round 1 score. That's more relevant as well for price changes. So just keep that in mind if you're looking at negative break evens, and especially in the early part of the season where we are looking at cash generation, just keep in mind this mechanism of the 3-round rolling average, just as a general update for you all. But yeah, because sometimes it's easy to see these big scores and think, got to jump on that player, he's got a negative break even, but these big scores that happen in round 1, they can drop out of that average pretty fast, and all of a sudden then that player who you thought was going to make a bunch of cash, maybe it's not going to be as much as you originally expected. Alrighty, so I think seeing a few things on front row forward, I've got a slide set up for front row forward, so don't you worry, we'll be talking about front row forward. It's my own personal dilemma as well this week, so I'm right there with you. But actually, you know what? Should we go to that first? Yeah, let's go to that first. We can discuss the TLT stuff. Actually, you know what? What do I want to talk about? Do I want to talk about TLT stuff first, or do I want to talk about front row forwards? Let's talk about front row forwards, and we'll tie in any TLT stuff as well. So obviously a lot of you out there are looking at you know, trading out front row forwards. I've got Spencer Lenu, I've got Jai Arrow, both problems. Spencer Lenu out for 8 weeks, Jai Arrow looks to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, and if he needs surgery he could actually potentially be out for 4+ months, which means almost season over. So at the very least, I think both of them are easy sells this week. Arrow, if he wasn't injured, I was probably happy to wait one more week, but with this news not being named this week in TLT, he's going to have to go. So obviously we're looking at front or forward replacements. Tamalolo, owners out there, if you had maybe Lolo and Lenu, you still might be looking to sell Tamalolo. We'll touch on him as well. Keenan Palacia, another disappointing one. So just in this slide in front, what you've got in front of you, hopefully, the players' names shaded in red, more like on the chopping block cells. The greens are guys who are on my watch list slash the popular buys of the week. AB Collectible is a $10 donation. Appreciate that so much. So generous. Long-time listener, first-time caller and subscriber because I'm lazy. Thank you for that. Do you think Palacio is a trade? Dropped to the bench and seemed to ball play a lot. Went on the field, limiting his base. Thanks so much, AB Collectibles. That's a really, really generous donation. And of course, guys, I do want to stress, this is all optional. You don't need to donate for me to answer your question specifically. I try to get to everyone as much as I can. But we'll tackle Palace here first, given that you've asked the question. He's a tricky one because they're on the bye this week, so you don't have that ability to see the team list this week. Named on the bench last week was frustrating. He only played the 31 minutes. The reason I was keen on him at the very start of the preseason, but ultimately I kind of cooled off because I looked into his numbers a bit more. The work rate just wasn't quite there, so I didn't start with him. And I think it also depends where do you have him. If you've got him in your second or forward, I can see a bunch of people that you could sell him to. You know, Talis Duncan, Saifarth, Kypius Paul, Fatala Marina is also an option there. Tom Eisenhuth even. If he's at your front or forward, the options are way less available. So I think, you know, there's one thing about wanting to sell guys, but it's also about, are you confident in the replacement that you're looking to get someone in? So I think Palacia, to be fair, yeah, he's never a high work rate guy, and I just don't know if he'll probably be a slow burn. And I think when we've got a good crop of, you know, second or forwards, and hopefully you've got the duels to get a second or forward, he feels like someone who I probably would, yeah, look to sell. And yeah, if I own Palacia this week, and if he was in my front row forward, there's not a whole heap of replacements, but I think there's probably a couple of cheaper ones, maybe like a Josh Kerr, that I would maybe look to sell to. Also depends, obviously, on the quality of your backup. You know, if you've got like a Sam Hughes and a Poasa Famasuli, yeah, look, they're probably not going to be great players in your 17. Liam Henry maybe a little bit more so, because he at least showed some decent work rate, got 35 minutes on the weekend. But yeah, I think, to summarise, yeah, I think I would sell Palacio if I did have him this week. He's on the bye. Even if he gets named to start, I'm just not sure how much you're going to get out of him. So yeah, probably would look to sell him. But yeah, in terms of replacements, we'll definitely tackle a bunch of them. Arrow for Flegler. Hair looks fluffy but cool. Thanks, Dino. We'll talk about Kypius Paul Dino in the next section. But yeah, on the front row forwards. So Moz is saying, going Flegler and Taylor May like the rest of this pack. Come on. Shame with Arrow's injury. Was planning on keeping him. So yeah, firstly on Terrell May, he is the most popular purchase this week in the entire game. And I think it's for good reason. Look at his stats here from the weekend. Obviously very good. 64 points, all base power. Good PPM of 1.19. And that PPM is base power PPM. So it's generally a good indicator of when they're on the field with front row forwards, tackled, offloads, tackle busts, and hit-ups. That's the bread and butter of their scoring. So really good base power PPM for Terrell May. Played 54 minutes. I know JWH is back for the Roosters this week, but Spencer Lenu is now out as well. I just think the comments that Robertson made about him was really positive. Even if he doesn't play 54 minutes, let's say it's 45 to 50 minutes. If it's 45 minutes at a 1.2 PPM, you know, you're looking at least 50 plus points average, and he's priced at a 42. So you're already going to get value out of him, but he's got a super coach friendly game. I think they'll need to rely on him more as well now with Lenu out. So I do like the Terrell May trade in this week. I think it's pretty obvious. If you've got Jai Arrow, you can go down, save yourself 30K. I think it's a very straightforward move. Talked about it a lot last week as well with Spencer Lenu. Hopefully you were able to maybe free up some money in your team to go up to Terrell May. That's what I did. Again, I think he's the number one front row forward pick around this 400K range. Obviously, I'm not talking about guys who are 550 plus because, you know, generally most people, I think, are having this dilemma with their mid-range front row forwards. So I think Terrell May, that kind of really just summarizes my thoughts on him. The next best. So I think in this 400K price range, I do think Flegler is next best. A couple of reasons. So he played 53 minutes on the weekend, which is pretty encouraging. And he's priced at a 47. I believe when I looked at the stats for him from in the preseason, anytime he averaged more than his kind of average minutes from last season, which is something in the 40s, he was generally giving you an extra 5 to 6 points on average. So I can easily see him being a low to mid 50s averaging player as well, which will also give you some value at his price tag at 476K. I think with who's a Raystone is out this week with a HIA, so obviously that means this week, particularly in the middles, going to need to rely on him a little bit more. The other thing is I've obviously got this dislocated kneecap injury to Lemuelu. Tom Gilbert is already out. Like, the forward stocks are already reducing a lot in the Dolphins outfit. So I think Flegler is going to be relied on. So I think he feels like a pretty safe bet. Probably doesn't have quite that upside of, you know, Terrell May, because I don't think he's got as much of an offload or tackle bust in him. But minutes look good. And so I think he's probably a safe bet if you're looking to sell Arrow as well. I would rank him number two. I'll get onto this when I discuss my own team a little bit later. But for all those reasons that I mentioned with the Dolphins lacking middles, it's one of the reasons why I'm eyeing up Josh Kerr. Now, I believe he played off the bench last week. He played 40 minutes, and I know Lemuelu had an injury, which meant he was subbed off early in that game. Raystone did get a HIA, so the minutes for the middle forwards at the Dolphins is a little bit muddied. But I look at him thinking, I think 40 minutes is reasonable for him to get, maybe, especially when they're going to need to rely on those bench middles a little bit more. So if he plays 40 minutes each week, the base stats are really good. So he based 37, but he got base power of 49. So if he's getting you low 40s at this kind of 350k price tag, like, I think there's definitely some value there. He's priced at a 34 average. And what I like is the price. He's 350k. So for my own purposes, like, Jai Arrow down to him is like 116k in the bank. And I can use that money to then potentially upgrade some of my bench 2RFs to some of these other mid-range 2RFs who have popped up this week in TLT. So I'm looking at Kerr as, like, I'd prefer Flegler to Josh Kerr, but I like Kerr for what that money saving allows you to do elsewhere in that team. So kind of ranking him as maybe not necessarily third, but I think if you're looking for a more cheap front row forward, he's probably one of the guys who I'm eyeing up at the moment. just seeing if there's a few questions. So there's a lot of nice comments about my hair. Favorite YouTuber ever. Hair looks fluffy and cool. Can I ever give away my hair? Sorry, Zane, I don't think I can be doing that. So apologies for that. There's a question here on Corey Jensen from Koala. Do I consider Jensen a decent choice in front row forward instead of Terrell May? So the thing with Corey Jensen, I think the minutes that the Broncos middles got last week was a little bit inflated across the board, because when Piakura went down so early in the game, it meant that Pat Carrigan moved to the left edge. And so it meant that there was obviously a spot in the middle that needed to be vacated. And so I believe the likes of Corey Jensen, Fletcher Baker, etc., all those middles, I think their minutes went up just a tad. I mean, Jensen was already looking decent, I think, prior to even his minutes being inflated last week, because I'm looking back at his scores from last year. You know, he averaged 41 across 38 minutes. If you think those minutes are going to go up to maybe the low to mid 40s, his points average could go from 41 to maybe 45. So you are, 45 to 50. So you are also looking at 7 to 8 extra points of value. But he just feels more like a meat and potatoes type of guy. And so, again, decent base power PPM of 1.05. That ranks a little bit behind Terrell May and Josh Kerr. It is better than Flegler's, to be fair. I guess the only comfort I've got with Flegler instead of Jensen is that I think Flegler is more likely to be getting these kind of 50 plus minutes. With Jensen, he played 56 minutes on the weekend, but I feel like that was inflated, and I think he's more likely going to be in the 40s. So it's more of a question of minutes. So I think if they had equal minutes, Jensen, based on at least the base power from last week, maybe ranked slightly ahead. But I think the minutes are going to be a little bit worse than Flegler. One thing obviously to note with Flegler and Josh Kerr is that they both have the bye next week in round 3. That's the only thing you need to consider. So if you buy either one of the two this week, you will need to play a backup in, one of like, say, Sam Hughes or Liam Henry. And if you're okay with them getting kind of low to mid 30s in that 1 week, then they're perfectly viable trade-ins for you this week. But yes, obviously, that's something that you need to consider. Thank you to the Beer Baron for pointing that out in the chat. TBO Mars saying Jensen all day. It's a really kind of, it's front and forward is not an easy position to answer, because it's pretty yuck, to be honest. Apart from Terrell May, none of these guys are putting their hand up saying, oh, you have to pick me. You kind of just go with who you feel like. Like, I've got Jacob Saifidi on the list up here as well. Shout out to, apologies, I forget their name, but they mentioned it on, they DM'd me on Instagram saying thoughts on Jacob Saifidi. Looked at his numbers and I thought, oh, that's pretty decent. And the bench for the Knights is actually not too bad for a middle forward as well. They've got Cogger, Dan Saifidi, Hetherington, and Cartwright. Cartwright's more of an edge. Cogger's obviously playing backup hooker. So then you've only got two other middles on the bench. So minutes for Jacob Saifidi could be okay. He played 51 minutes on the weekend. That could be his minutes going forward. And at a price at 418K, is priced at 41 average. So you are getting some value there. But again, like, we've seen a pretty big sample size of Jacob Saifidi, and he's never typically been Supercoach relevant. So even if he does get those extra minutes, I'm questioning a little bit, like, is he him? Is he the guy? Like, I'm looking at his 2023 numbers. He averaged 41 minutes and he got 41 points. he's effectively just a 1 PPM guy. So if he gets 51 minutes, he'll play and he'll get you 50 points. So for him, I think it's completely down to minutes. Last season, his average minutes was 41. Most games are in the 40s. So again, there could have been potentially extra minutes last weekend because of that Dylan Lucas HIA. Oh, sorry, not Dylan Lucas. Inari Tuala getting injured meant that Lucas had to then shift to the right center position. Kaipis Paul came on the left edge. Maybe there was a plan to have Pierce Paul play some middle or Frizzell play some middle. So maybe the minutes did get increased as well for Jacob Saifidi. So again, minutes for him, I'm not super certain about. The ones I've got the most certainty about minutes are Flegler and May, which is why I think they're the two best replacements. But obviously it's not perfect. I'm potentially looking at Josh Kerr, mainly just for the price. Seeing a couple of shout outs for like Blake Laurie. I can't even remember what Laurie is priced at, but I can tell you now, even if he's at a good 565K, the thing with Blake Laurie is that he's battling a rib cartilage issue. And go listen to NRL Physio on his Magic Sponge podcast, but rib cartilage injury for middle forwards is probably one of the worst injuries that they can have for like output and performance, because it's a very painful injury. So I think that's just something to consider. I want to mention this as well from Benny G, and I think Moz also mentioned it as well. Josh Cohen, please, super coach, give him front row forward, second row forward duel. I would absolutely love that. That's another reason why, like, if he actually gets that in round six, if I get Josh Kerr, he's also duel, I can then eventually, if Josh Kerr just makes some money and I only need him till say round six, like, I'll flip Josh Cohen up to my front row forward, Josh Kerr out for any other good second row forward. So yeah, I don't mind that. And Moz, I know you've mentioned with Kerr about the try scoring game. The numbers, I'm not even looking at the 76 score. I'm just looking at the underlying work rate score, like 49 points in base power at his price is really good, right? I'm not even considering that he scored a line break try that bumped up his score. It's nice to know that, you know, obviously it means his break even is slightly lower, but it's more just about he showed some good base power PPM from last week as well. Yeah, it could be a 35 to 40 average, but even then, yeah, slow burn. Clemmer feels a little bit expensive, and I guess at the moment we're kind of just more talking about those kind of 400k below front row forwards, because most people have problem areas with Arrow, Tamalolo. I haven't really mentioned too much on Tamalolo, but it's, if you've got other fires to fight this week, you could technically hold him. His price won't change until round three, but yeah, it was a massive red flag that he only played 21 minutes on the week, or 22 minutes on the weekend, because the Cowboys were doing so well, they thought they could put him on ice. That's a big red flag, and always been the case with Todd Payton. He just messes around with Lolo's minutes. So I was never too keen on him. If you started with him, obviously it's very, very frustrating. I would just sell him to Terrell May probably and just avoid that headache in your team. But yeah, I'll probably park it there for the front row forward chat. We spent about 20 minutes, I think, on that. But obviously no real clear answers there. But yeah, Terrell May, I think, is close to a must trade in this week. And then I'd say Flegler's number two behind him. And then honestly, after that, I think you just kind of go with who you feel. Maybe you can go with someone who is going to help you with your future trades moving forward. Seeing a couple of questions about Talis Duncan, Kaipias Paul, so we will chat about them just now. So some of the news out of TLT from this week, obviously there's quite a bit, so I've put just a screenshot from my Twitter that I had put earlier in the day. So yeah, a bit of a few cheapies emerging. So we'll talk about the second row forward ones first. So we've got Talis Duncan starting edge for the Bunnies, obviously with Jai Arrow news, him being injured. Now with Duncan, what I quite like about him, and I probably actually, if you were trading in a 300 something K guy in your 2RF this week, I actually rank him a little bit above Kaipias Paul. Not necessarily from a supercoach output, but more like, I think, again, minute certainty. With Talis Duncan, the bench for the Rabbitohs looks quite good for him. You've got Havili, who's a middle. You've got Shaq Mitchell, who's a middle. You've got Tom Burgess, and you've got Davey Mo'ali. They're all middle forwards. No, I think if Jacob Hoste was on the bench like he was last week, that would obviously mean that could show that Duncan was going to get spelled. But the bench makeup looks like Talis Duncan could just be playing 80 minutes. And the thing with him is that Jacob Hoste wasn't even named in the 17 altogether. And so it looks as though he's got a, maybe they're looking at a setup where they want him to be the 80-minute back rower, potentially. And even if Jai Arrow is only back 4 to 6 weeks, look, you only get one, you might only get, you'll get 1 to 3 price rises out of Talas Duncan in that period of time, which is obviously not fantastic. So you don't have to jump on him this week because there is some uncertainty. But if we get some news that Arrows has to have that surgery and he needs to, if he needs that surgery, he could be out for a much, much longer period of time. And then all of a sudden, Talas Duncan does look like a really good option. So yeah, talking out loud, actually thinking about it more, given that Arrow could be back in 4 to 6 weeks, you're actually only getting maybe 1 to 3 price rises, 1 to 3 price rises out of Talas Duncan. So that's just something to consider. But I like the bench makeup for him. With Kai Pierce-Paul, obviously he looked fantastic last week. In the one half that he played, he scored 43 points in a half, all pretty much in work rate. So really good signs. We like that he's playing on the left edge for the Knights. That's a really good spot for them. Only asterisk I think I have against him is that Dylan Lucas, who is out this week, is likely going to be coming back into that team next week because he's just on a HIA stand down for round 2. He'll be back round 3. And if we see Kai Pierce-Paul go back to the bench, then, you know, obviously we're not sure what the minutes are. I think, because I don't think we can guarantee that Pierce-Paul is going to get a minimum of 40 minutes because he didn't feature in the first half. He only came into the team in the second half because Tuala was out. Lucas had to move to the centre spot, which freed up Kai Pierce-Paul to play on the left edge. So we just don't have certainty on the minutes. He's probably a better Supercoach player than Talas Duncan in terms of his gameplay. You know, he's probably going to be more of a tackle buster, attacking stat guy than Talas Duncan would be. And they've got a better draw as well, the Knights. So I'm probably actually going to flip what I just said previously. I probably prefer Pierce-Paul as a trade-in maybe this week because that minute sharing role could just be the long-term for him. But again, like, I don't want to say too many times, wait till next week, because you might be putting off like 5 trades you might want to do next week. And of course, you only have a maximum of 3. If you use a boost. So I think if you've got a good feeling on Kai Pierce-Paul, like at least we saw that in limited minutes, he still can score okay. At his price, he's priced at like a low 30s average, so you're going to get least value for Pierce-Paul if he gets you around low 40s, but we think the upside is there as well. Now, I think a few people are looking at maybe selling both Fermor. So I'm seeing a few people like Drew Carla saying Fermor to May via Fifita. I'm going to guess that's Viliami Fifita. With both Fermor, if you're looking to sell for maybe like a Pierce-Paul or a Talas Duncan or like a Terrell May, I think for Terrell May, I would probably do it. So, Kieran Foran is expected back in round 3. And I think that was a big negative for Fermor is that Foran wasn't playing. So, if Foran is playing and Fermor playing on the left, that's good for him for his attacking stats. The only other thing, though, is that Dave Fifita could be back round 3 or round 4. And then if Fermor's then shifted on the right-hand side, you know, he's not going to be as good of an option. So I think Fermor I like overall as a pick because he can get attacking stats, but if he's going to be playing right side and Foran's not there, then I don't like him as much as an option. And I think you can take a 30k price saving, get Terrell May, who's probably going to get you he's going to get you better output for base stats. Fermor's more likely going to get you attacking stats, but if you're playing on the right side, those are more limited. So I think I'd probably be okay with Fermor to May if you can do that via duels. Shout out to a couple of people, Isaac Brown and Mr. Callio. Thank you so much for becoming members. Really, really appreciate that. What are we saying here? And then, yeah, the other second forward is Alex Seyfarth. He's been named at lock for the West Tigers, which is encouraging because I thought maybe Johnny Bateman could take that spot, but Bateman's been named on the edge. So it looks as though Seyfarth, for the time being, has that position. Going to read out this comment from Moz as well. Seyfarth, Kai Pierce-Paul, and Talas Duncan can all wait a week. 2 for Duncan and Seyfarth. That's because neither of them have played a game yet. So they've got 3 more weeks still until their price changes. Kai Pierce-Paul has got 2 more weeks. So I think that's obviously a fair call because then at least it gives you some time to see what's going to happen. Is Jacob Host going to come back into that Rabbitohs team? What's going to happen with Kai Pierce-Paul, Dylan Lucas? And Seyfarth, we haven't even seen him play yet. So I agree with Moz in that if you can, being patient with these guys is good. You don't have to trade them in this week. None of their prices are going to be changing. And another week of information is always good. And I don't think it's ever a bad thing to use a boost in round 3 to try to get 3 guys in to your team to help set up your team as well moving forward. So I guess that's kind of a summary on some of these cheaper secondary forwards that have emerged. But again, going to mention my own team. I'm thinking of going to a cheaper front row forward because my second row forward currently is Sean Lane, Pierre Kura, Lukey, Curran, Smithies, and then Joe Chan. Those first five, I don't really see myself selling or wanting to sell next week. Obviously, things could change next week. One guy could get injured. The minutes look awful for one of them. But as it currently stands, it's only Joe Chan who I'd want to be upgrading, and that's because he played 65 minutes and got like 18 or 20 in base. Like, he's going to be a very slow burn. And so Sean Bloor's also lurking in the background. If Joe Chan gets benched, he effectively gets killed as an option, in my opinion. So I want potentially that money in the bank to maybe move to one of these 300K second row forwards. So I'm probably not going to get any of them this week, but obviously a keen watch for myself this week. Going to see a couple of questions as well. Essie Campbell, what's my thoughts on Tom Eisenhuth? So Eisenhuth, it was encouraging that he's been named to start again this week. His work rate looked really good last week. So I think he played 60 minutes from memory. Yeah, 60 minutes, and he based 51. So really, really solid. Could be a perfect kind of dual second row forward center wing guy that you can plug in especially into your center wing. Again, his price is not going to change this week. And I would also like to wait a week on him, just because we saw that Luciano Leilua has been named on the bench for the Dragons. I've got a feeling that Luciano Leilua will take one of those starting edge spots, and I don't think it's going to be Jaden Sua. I think it will be Eisenhuth. We've seen for a few years now, Eisenhuth is perfectly fine and capable of just coming off the bench and doing a job. He did that for the Storm for ages. Maybe the same thing happens here as well. And all of a sudden, if he starts coming off the bench, then I don't think he's going to be obviously as good of an option. You'd rather him starting, playing more minutes. So again, really liked what I saw from him last week, but I would like to give him a week as well, just because of this whole Luciano Leilua situation with the minutes as well. Would I trade Viliame Fifita to KPP or hold the trade? So this is an interesting one from Stefanos. Viliame Fifita hasn't been named this week, and this was the fear that with Luciano Leilua coming back, Fifita could not be named in that 17. If you've got that money in the bank, I actually don't mind that upgrade, because at least what you're doing, Stefanos, is I know you're going a week early, but you're getting a playing player into your squad who's going to make you some money. Whereas Viliame Fifita, at this point, effectively is enough. Unless he gets back into that team, he's not going to be playing, not going to be making any money. So I don't mind that upgrade to try to bolster your cash gen. So I think that's a pretty decent move, Stefanos. Here's an interesting kind of broader question. Would I consider using a boost in the first week? Missed out on Smithies, thinking of trading both of Lenu and Arrow and Firmor to Smithies. So Jason, I think this is a situation where I can see a boost being viable, because Lenu and Arrow, I think, are both must-sells this week. Neither are going to be playing for you this week, so that's two trades easy. And then if you've got a guy that you really like, you know, maybe it's Smithies. I think Smithies is a pretty good option. He played pretty well on the weekend, scored like 53, 54 points, pretty much all in base stats. So again, I've noted some of my concerns with Bo Firmor, especially if he gets shifted to the right and Foran is due back in round three, but we guess we have to wait and see for team lists next week. I don't mind that downgrade to free up some cash to get someone who's probably going to score similar to Bo Firmor in work rate. And so I don't mind that as a boost. And I think using boosts in the first week is fine if you've identified someone that you like or you maybe missed out on. Using trades at the beginning of the season to help set up your team, I think, is definitely the right way to go about it. So that's kind of a couple of questions answered there as well. Some other notable things from TLT this week. So we had Tommy Talau named on the wing for Manly. It's been confirmed that Saab is going to be out for 6 weeks with this hamstring injury. That was from last week. So let's say 5 to 6 weeks that Saab will be out for. And so what you'll get with Tommy Talau, if he holds that position, he should be getting three price changes minimum, because he'll play first three games, no price changes. And then he'll play the other extra three games and get three price changes. Now, Tommy Talau obviously looks tempting. He's like 287K. I wouldn't be jumping on him this week, just for first, we haven't seen him play at all. Last season, when he played 8-minute games for the Tigers, this, again, playing at center, not on the wing, he averaged 37, and he's priced at 28 currently. So there's 9 points of value. I would bet that 37 average would increase, because one, he's playing, sorry, Tigers fans, he's playing for a better team, especially in attack, and he's playing on the wing, and I think that's much better for Supercoach than playing in the centers. So I'm definitely keeping a keen eye on Tommy Talau. He could be maybe an exit for Tain Tuopiki, maybe a Jack Bostock, who I've got in my team, who I don't really want to play that often. A couple of guys in my center wing who I'm maybe happy to move on. So Tommy Talau, I don't think he's a must trade in this week. Let's see what he looks like. But I think playing on the wing, he should be getting at least three rounds of price changes. I think he should be a decent kind of cheapy in the center wing position. Now, couple of other things as well. I didn't note it in this screenshot here, but we've got Jacob Gagai has held his position, played pretty well. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that he will just keep that spot for the time until Ty Monroe comes back into that team, which should hopefully be two or three price changes. So even Jacob Gagai, if you haven't got him already, and if you don't think you've got three other moves you need to do next week, I could again maybe say hold off for another week, and then you could downgrade one of your struggling center wings next week. But if you think you've got three more trades that you're going to want to do next week, I also don't mind going and grabbing Gagai this week because he looked good. The fact that he's been named there again, Isaac Thompson hasn't been named there. Moz, maybe if you want to put your thoughts in here because I know you're a Bunnies fan. But I think if Gagai's been named this week, just having a quick look at the team list for the Rabbitohs just so I'm not getting anything wrong. Yeah, so Isaac Thompson, he's not even in the entire squad. So he's missed the 22 completely. So really the only threat I can see there is Tane Milne at number 19, but at the moment it looks good for Gagai. So don't mind going Gagai this week if you think you've got three other trades next week. Alrighty, so I think that's probably covered a few of the second forwards. I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, but the Tigers have named a centre, is it Fatapi? I wouldn't be jumping on him as a cheapie just because it looks like he's just holding that position for Justin Ollum. And I think one of the West Tigers Twitter accounts, not the actual West Tigers themselves, but one of the fan accounts tweeted that they're giving Ollum another week and he should be right to go next week. And I suspect that this Fatapi player will just drop out. And so I don't think he's a viable option. We've mentioned Alex Seyfarth a bit already. I think you don't need to jump on him straight away. Max Plath for the Dolphins, he's been named at starting lock. Again, he's 278K and he's only available in the 5'8 spot. So I don't imagine a lot of people have got issues there currently. And so again, I would be wanting to see what happens next week because I think he's just got that spot until Ray Stone comes back next week because Stone is just missing this week because of a HIA. So Max Plath also is another one who I'm kind of, even if he gets named again next week, I've got Lockie Galvin and Dylan Brown in my 5'8 currently. I don't think I'll be looking to move either of the two. Now Lockie Galvin though, we haven't even mentioned him yet. So obviously one of the bigger news from TLT today is that he's been named to start in the number 6 jersey, Jaden Sullivan number 7, and Aiden Caesar on the bench. Now I was hearing that Caesar has got a hamstring injury, which is why Galvin was named to start, but Caesar still being named on the bench really threw me off. I was like, is it going to be a late switch where Caesar gets named to start and maybe Galvin gets the utility spot? Is it going to be they're looking at Caesar as utility? I've never really historically known him as to be a utility, so that didn't really make sense to me either. Maybe they just named it and then Caesar will drop out altogether. Either way, I think Galvin, he could be just one that you jump on in, 3 weeks or so. Again, you don't need to jump on him this week. but yeah, I don't mind if you've got Ethan Strange currently in your 5'8 and you're looking to move on one of your center wings. I don't mind doing some duels and switching Strange to your center wing and bringing in someone like a Galvin into your backup 5'8. It's encouraging that he's been named in the 17 because it looks like, at the very least, if Aiden Caesar eventually comes into the halves, Galvin may still get a utility role on the bench. So at bottom dollar, he still will make some money. So I still don't mind Galvin. He's a young gun, so hopefully the promise is that he just gets to stay in the starting house of them long term. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on Galvin. And I think we've covered off some of the cheapy news out of TLT. So I think we'll move on to this, the next section. Seeing some questions about Zach Labart from, is it Revikes? Yeah, so just quickly on Jacob Gagai, just reading this comment from Moz. Rabbitohs New South Wales Cup has had a bye. Okay, that's frustrating. But Isaac Thompson didn't play Cup last week either. Think Gagai's got it locked at the moment. Looking at him in round 3. Again, yeah, if you've got that flexibility where you don't need to make a trade, if you think you've got the flexibility to get Gagai in next week as one of your three trades, if you assuming you use a boost next week, you can wait one more week. Seeing a question here on Jamin Salmon, I'll actually touch on him. You know what, I might quickly just jump into the top ins and outs because it covers off probably a few people's questions. So Pablo Escobar, great username, not sure if you're a Salmon owner, but if you are, what are you doing with him? So Salmon is the 10th most traded out player this week. I don't own Jamin Salmon. I just had my reservations with his role. Now I won't claim that I'm a genius because of Josh Adokar's injury last week, it meant that Salmon was moving to the centres And so I think the minutes for the middle, so the Bulldogs was just all messed up. I just don't really get what was happening with their rotation either. Like Max King only played 43 minutes. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, he should be a 55, 60 minute guy. That's what he's been most of the time for the Bulldogs. So with Salmon, again, I think there's some good options who have cropped up, but none are changing in price this week. I think with Salmon, I would want to give it another week. Again, boring answer, but I want to give it another week if I was an owner, just to see what is the true rotation. Hopefully there's no HIAs or injuries to mess up the middle rotation this week for the Bulldogs. You get to see what it looks like with a clean bill of health. Salmon was going okay. Like I didn't watch that game live, but I remember looking at the Supercoach app. I think after like 15 minutes, he was on 12 points already. So it seemed like he was making a bunch of tackles and at least doing, you know, his work rate was up a little bit. Benny G is mentioned here as well. Salmon looked all right before he got shifted. So I think with Salmon, I wouldn't raid trade him out. I'd probably give it one more week. And if again, it looks like he's got that ball playing role. Maybe he's a bit of a slow burn. Maybe someone like a Kuipis pull just absolutely screams he's a must buy next week, or maybe it's Talis Duncan, whomever. Then you've got that flexibility to make that move next week with another week of information. SE Campbell, thank you so much for becoming a member. Really, really appreciate that as well. Ian saying Galvin has won the spot by reports. As a current Galvin owner, I would absolutely love that. All right, so that's on Salmon. I think there was a question on Labor from Revikes. Is that how you spell it? Apologies for that. But we'll quickly touch on Zach Labor. So I've got a slide dedicated just to him. Not Val Holmes, because I think Val Holmes last week, his score was very good, and he's a former gun. So again, with Labor, really good performance. I've got my rounds listed wrong here. Of course I have. Of course I've got something wrong. I always have something wrong in my slides. There we go. So yeah, round two, home against the Newcastle Knights before the Dragons in round three. Again, don't kill me about these color shadings. I did this all in the preseason. The Dragons could be a much better outfit come round three. Actually, no, I've got that all. Have I got this all messed up? I thought the Cowboys... No, oh my God, sorry. It's been a long day. The Cowboys are playing the Knights this week. So I think I've got it right. So... yes, Isaac, I will cover captain options later. Yep. But yeah, so on Labor, again, I want to wait a week on him. I think he will be a good option, though, because, you know, the round one score is good, obviously, 103, decent base stats. I've pulled the four scores from last season that he played the full 80 minutes. And in those games, he had an average of 57. He had two scores of above 60, one was 65, one was 91, other two scores 26 and 46. So I guess what it showed me is that he is attacking stat reliant. Like, if he doesn't get any attacking stats, he's just going to get you around this 30-point score. That seems to be around his average base stats. If he gets you at least one try, he's probably more likely going to get you that 60. If he gets more than that, then he's pushing close to the 100, which we saw in that round 26 game against the Dolphins last season, and then again last week as well. Again, I would wait on him a week just because I don't think this Newcastle matchup is as good as the Dolphins matchup from last week. I think the draw, like round three, is obviously decent against Dragons, but it is away. And this 103 score will drop out of his rolling average first as well. Then it's got the Broncos in round four. So I'm looking at the next three thinking they're not the absolute easiest. So round five looks potentially like a good week to jump on him. Now, obviously, if he kills it this week, and he's got a massive negative break even, then yes, I think he'll become very popular next week. But again, I don't want to brush too much into it just because I think that Dolphins team was really under strength, and I think they look like they're going to be a very leaky team. So I like Labor. He's shown last season that he's been a good, he can average pretty well in that high 50s range, especially at his price tag, that is value as well. But personally, I want to wait on him as well, just a week. I want to see a week of the Cowboys doing very well, because I do think that they benefited a lot from versing a pretty easy opposition in the Dolphins. So that's my thoughts on Labor. Just going to quickly go back to the top ins and outs. So no shocks that Spencer Lenny and Jai Arrow are the top two trade outs. Brendan Piakura, I might just give you some thoughts on that one. If you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen my thoughts already on him yesterday. I'm not a massive fan of trading out Piakura this week, just because the low score wasn't caused by anything in terms of a poor work rate or like a change in the role, you know, him being lazy, whatever it was. It was literally just because he's copped a head knock. Now, granted, he has had a history of many head knocks, but he's been cleared to play. He's been named this week as well. Nothing has really changed in terms of what you bought when you started with him. He's still an 80-minute edge backer for a very good Broncos team. Tough draw, but he can get attacking stats. We saw that in the trials. Nothing to me has changed, and there's no like 2RFs who are screaming out that they need to be purchased this week. Even if he's your best ticket to Terrell May, I still don't even think that's really worth the move. I think it's a cop-out answer, but I think I'll try to find a different way to get Terrell May, because I just don't think Piakura is the guy to be sacrificing. His role hasn't changed. Nothing's really changed apart from that he got a very low score in round one. And as we said, the round one score is going to drop out first. So yes, he may have a high break even, but that's not going to be, that four score is not going to be there for that long of a time. So I think it's going to drop out first. So I think you don't need to stress too much. Now, look, if he comes out again next week, plays 80 minutes and scores like 25, and he's got a break even of like 100 plus, and you've got like a Kai Pispall, this 80-minute back row edge, named again to start, looks amazing, then I can see a little bit of it, because it's, you can justify it a bit more, where you're like, well, work rate wasn't the best. I've got a guy sitting there who can save me like 80K, which I can use for elsewhere on my team, makes me make money. Then I can see some rationale to it, whereas this week, I just don't really see it too much. So I'm not a big fan of the Piakura out trade outs this week. Palacia, Bofermo, we've kind of touched on the pair of them. Again, Silatili, Tupanua, it feels like another one where you can wait a week, hopefully get a bit more certainty on the role, because he did get an injury the week before last in that Vegas game. Ezra Mam, surprised to see him as one of the most traded out. I imagine that's just because a lot of people were disappointed in his score from round one. I'll be honest, I can't even remember what he scored. He scored 21 points, and this is the thing with Ezra Mam. He's very, very try-reliant, very attacking stat-reliant, and they've got a tough draw, so I'm not too keen. I was never too keen on Ezra Mam myself, but yeah. Like, if you've got Ezra Mam as your starting second starting 5'8", you could go him down to, like, I don't know. You could go him to someone like Luke Brooks. I think Luke Brooks looked pretty good. I think Brooks is around that 500K range. He's probably your best bet in this 500K category of 5'8"s. Or if you wanted to be gutsy and ballsy, you could go all the way down to a Lockie Galvin and free up a lot of money. Adokar, again, injured. I can't even remember. Has he even been named? No, he's been named in the reserves for the Bulldogs. But again, Adokar is probably safe to sell. And Salmon, again, I'd probably want to give him a week as well. In terms of the ins, so we've talked about Terrell May, Laybutt. We haven't talked so much about Raymond, Fitala, Mariner. So I might just very quickly go onto my Dragons slide. It's been a long time since I've had to pull a full slide together just on the St. George Illawarra Dragons, but of course they looked really good last week. I think this is a similar symptom of what we saw against Cowboys against the Dolphins. I've watched the highlights of this game now, and the Titans defense looked abysmal. Like, it looks so bad. Like, little setup, Terrell Sloan just running straight through the middle. Ben Hunt put Sloan through what looked like pretty soft edge defense. So again, this Dragons team, I'm like, how much are we looking at round one? The good thing on their side, though, is that they've got the Dolphins this week, who are probably equally as bad in defending. Then they've got a couple of home games. Then it's the Newcastle Knights and the Tigers. Like, long-term, the draw is not too bad. So I think the main buy-ins, obviously, was Vitala Mariner. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I assume he was named on the bench last week, but then started. And maybe a similar thing's happening this week as well, because he's been named on the bench, but he could play. He could be named to start. Again, I know it's a good matchup this week, but with the likes of Eisenhuth, RFM, I want to see how their roles get impacted by Luciano Leilua. So I don't really want to be jumping on them this week, and they're not at a really expensive price. I think they'll be easy to move to next week if you had to. Jacob Little looked good. He played 68 minutes, which is very encouraging. Typically, I think SC Whisperer has got some stats on him. Anytime he's averaged more than 65 to 70 minutes, he's pretty much got like a 60-plus average. So again, keen watch on him. Could be a nice little downgrade. Maybe if you've got like a, I don't know, maybe you've got like an Appy Coruscant and you want to move and you want to free up some funds, maybe Jacob Little becomes an option as well. Carl Flanagan could be a nice little backup 5'8", but he did score a try, which bumped up his score to 51. It was a line break try as well. So without that, we're looking at about, what, 20? Are we looking at 21 points or something like that? So again, not fantastic. Terrell Sloan, 542K. I think with Sloan, we've been here before. He has a few good games and absolutely kills it, and then he just is an absolute nightmare for owners because he's got very low base. And I think the most viable option out of these guys is Lomax. Really liked what I saw from Lomax. 39 in base is really, really good. We love a winger. In Supercoach, they're generally more likely to get the big attacking stats like the tries and line breaks, and more likely to get better base as well because they take more hit-ups out of their own end. 39 in base is really good. You add the fact that he's goal-kicking, you're looking at a guy who safely can get you 50s, 50s to mid-50s, and we've seen that with Lomax historically. I've got more confidence in Lomax because he's a historically good player for Supercoach, like his last four seasons, 57, 60, and 62 averages. So we know he's a guy who can push the 60 average. That's what he's priced at. He's not cheap, but I think this is one of the times where I'd say don't wait a week. If you want Lomax and you really liked what you saw, I think I would just be getting him in this week because he's got this Dolphins matchup, and I think this is the matchup you'd want to target for point scoring. So that's my thoughts. I think if you really want Lomax, I would be personally jumping on him, I think, this week. But again, he's not easy to get to. People are probably going to have to sacrifice the likes of a Tuivasa-Sheck. That doesn't feel the easiest, but again, I think this one is hard to recommend. I think this is more of a go with your gut and your eye test one. I probably won't be doing that move myself. I've already had to do Lenu and Arrow out, and I think I don't know if I'm willing to use a boost just to get RTS out of my team when I thought towards the back end of the preseason I wanted him so much. After 1 week, then just trading him out to Lomax, I'm not sure if that's what I want to do. But again, it's another reason why I think I want to try to free up money this week as well with my front row forward replacement for Arrow, because I might want this money to upgrade to someone like a Lomax who's not coming in that cheap. So just that's some of my thoughts on a couple of these guys from the Dragons. Elsewhere in the trade ins and outs, we haven't talked about Burbo. So quick note here, Josh Schuster is playing this week in the Reggies for Manly, so they're giving him an extra week. He could be back on the bench next week for Manly. So again, this is one where I think if you haven't yet got Burbo, I would maybe wait a week just to see what happens with the Schuster. Although my gut tells me that Burbo is going to stay as the starter because he looked really good in round one. Good combination with Turbo as well. So I think Burbo is likely to stay in that starting role. But maybe the minutes get reduced. But yeah, I think if you're cautious and you're not 100% sure, you can wait a week to see what happens with Schuster. But my gut does tell me that Burbo is probably going to be pretty safe. So I think I'd probably lean to getting him this week if you don't have him already. Smithies. We've actually spoken about Flegler, Smithies, Jacob Gagai, Taylor May, I think is a pretty obvious one as well. This is one of the players who I think if you've missed in round one and you want to use a boost to get them, I think go for it because Taylor May showed what he's capable of. He scored 67 points and the Panthers scored 0 points. Like, I think he'll be perfectly fine as an option. The last one is Joey Lussick. So I haven't really talked about him too much. He ended up playing, I think, 63 minutes on the weekend. Scored pretty well, 61 points. A lot of attacking stats in there, though. Like, he did have a try assist, line break assist in there. He only based 31. Got the Panthers this week, which is a tough matchup as well. And I just want to see, is that 63 minutes his likely minutes, or is it inflated because of whatever reason? I don't feel super confident on just trading him in this week. I would probably wait a week if I could. So finally, we'll touch on some captains, and then we'll go on to my team and then answer a few of your questions as well. But guys, give the stream a like if you can. And there's 275 of you viewing? That's insane. Apologies, I haven't been able to get to too many of your comments. I just wanted to get through some of the pre-scheduled content, but I'll definitely get to your questions at some point towards the end of the stream, so do stick around. So actually, just on that topic of Lomax, we'll take this question from Steezers. Karaz to Lomax, or do you think he'll get the wing spot with Tracy in the centres? So yeah, Connor Tracy has been named this week for the Dogs. He's been named on the wing. Not sure if Karaz will eventually move to that wing spot. We've seen Tracy do perfectly fine in the centres. That's a tough one to say. I don't actually know because I think Karaz has mentioned in the past that he would maybe want to play centre, or maybe I'm getting confused with Ruben Garrick. So I think it's totally unpredictable, Steezers. I mean, Karaz either way is good for base points, either on the wing or centres. He scored 49 in base power on the weekend. In terms of Karaz to Lomax, I think that really comes down to your gut feel. We saw the Bulldogs didn't look that impressive. They don't have the best draw. And if you really liked what you saw out of Lomax and you think he's going to absolutely, you know, kill it, he's going to score like 70 plus again this week, and you want to get him in next week anyway, it's kind of one of these moves. I think you've really just got to get back your gut here. I can't really tell you yet absolutely do that move because we know Karaz is a good player. So I think it just really comes down to your own risk appetite. The man, the myth, the legend. Come on, lads, 100 likes. Yeah, let's give in. Let's get the likes up. Can we? Helps me out on the old algorithm. But yes, in terms of captaincy, so the main thing that I've tried to look at this week is the matchups and in terms of the opposition that these guys are facing, who's got a opposition who's the worst in terms of conceding points to that specific position, and the ones that got highlighted here were Hines, Cleary, and Ponga. So obviously the Broncos and the Rabbitohs are playing each other, I think, on Thursday night. They are playing on Thursday night. Again, that's a game at Suncorp. I think we saw that Reece Walsh is capable of scoring well, even in tough matches, like we saw it last week against the Roosters. But it doesn't feel like a great matchup to really call in terms of who's going to be scoring more points. So I think if I had one of Latrell or Walsh, I would probably be overlooking the pair of them. Hines has got the best matchup on paper and also from a stats point of view. So last season, the Bulldogs were the worst in terms of conceding points to opposition halfbacks, and this is based on a PPM. So from a matchup point of view, I think Hines does clearly stand out. He's got the Friday 6 o'clock game, so it's fairly early in the week. So I think originally I had put my captaincy straight on him, but then I thought about it a bit more and I thought, well, you could just take a free vice captain loop on him this week potentially. So Hines, I think, for sure needs to have your VC or your captaincy. At the moment, I've got my vice captaincy on him, but he very easily could just become a straight captain because I do think he's got the best matchup. Even though Cleary's got a decent kind of, even though Parramatta have got a historically bad record at conceding points to opposition halfbacks, they seem to always perform well against Penrith. So there's with Hines having a much better matchup, I'd just take Hines over Cleary. Ponga, even though the Cowboys last season actually conceded quite a lot of points to opposition fullbacks, I like the fact that he's goal kicking, but it's an away game to the Cowboys. Cowboys looked good last week. I'm just not sure if on a matchup view I want to maybe go with him. Turbo, again, the matchup doesn't seem the best because Roosters have been pretty good defensively. We saw that in that first Vegas game. 16th in terms of conceding points to opposition fullbacks, so they were one of the best last season, second best pretty much. But it's a home game it's a home game at Brookie. Four Pines, whatever you call it, and that's on Sunday 4 o'clock. I'm just going to check the weather in Sydney for 4 p.m. because he's a Sunday at the moment says low temperature, about 24 degrees, and potentially some light rain. Although actually, if you click on 4 p.m. it says Sunday 4 p.m. 23 degrees, partly cloudy. So the weather's probably going to be pretty fine for Turbo. So I don't mind going captaincy Turbo VC Hines. Or I think if you want to look purely more on a stats point of view, I think Ponga maybe is a better captaincy shout than Turbo because he's got that goal kicking. And surely the Knights will work on their stuff this week because they looked pretty bad in attack last week. Even though the Cowboys can score points, they can also leak points as well. So thinking about it a little bit more, I may lean towards just going VC Hines, C Ponga, so I think my three options are going to be VC Hines, Captain Turbo, VC Hines, Captain Ponga, or just go straight captaincy on Nico Hines. I think at the moment I'm leaning probably VC Hines, Captain Ponga, then Captain Hines, and then maybe the Hines Turbo combination. That's currently what I've got at the moment. Ian, you're saying Marzu as captain again. I think if you've got Ponga in your team, I just prefer the guy who's goal kicking. Good shout here from SC Camel. Raining in Cronulla on Friday. Yeah, I'm looking at the weather. Friday does look wind and rain. Although you could equally say SC Camel, wet hair Nico is a different animal. I want to say that game last year against the Dragons when he scored 180. I don't think it was raining, but it was like not clear, and he still scored 180 points. But in terms of that, the weather conditions, maybe that's enough to lean me towards going VC Hines. Benny G, Cleary's not a captain choice this week, scored the worst average against, second worst average against any side. Yep. Although Benny G is a Parramatta fan, so I'll take what he says with a little pinch of salt this week. Although I do agree that Parramatta always do well against Penrith. Never turns up in the big games. Oh, Benny G, you can't say that after he had that grand final performance. Yep, you're absolutely right, Benny. Wet hair, Nico. You can hear Clem sighing already. Absolutely. So, yeah, Hines goal kicked as well on the weekend. He didn't goal kick the first kick. That was just because he was a bit winded. But then he goal kicked in the second half. So, yeah, that's currently my thoughts on captaincy. That's the end of the pre-scheduled content. What I'll quickly do is I will show you guys my team and what I am thinking of doing. So I've already done, and just let me know if you guys can see this okay as well. But I'm doing Spencer Lenu out for Terrell May. That's done and dusted. Jai Arrow needs to go, I think, as well. I just can't have him really sitting in my team. Nothing else has changed from the team I showed last week. I've currently got Captain Turbo. I think I'll probably swap that to Ponga, to be honest, though. Like the fact that Ponga's goal kicking. Although, to be fair, Turbo looked really good, even against, who did Manly play? The Rabbitohs. So yeah, home game, 4 p.m. on Sunday. It could be a Turbo game. I'm umming and ahhing on that one. I'll let you guys know what I feel like. But Turbo looked really good, didn't he? And he was a whisker away from going 100+. I think I'll switch back to Turbo for the time being. We'll say that ranking I gave before, let's change that to VC, Hines, Captain, Turbo. Especially also because the weather on Friday might not be the best in Cronulla. Yep, so this is my team at the moment. Jai Arrow will go. I think the most obvious replacement that I can think of would be Flegler around the price tag. But as I said, what I like about Josh Kerr is, look, he's cheap. He's 349K. Leaves me with 150K almost in the bank, which I think is going to be next week valuable for maybe upgrading someone like a Joe Chan to like a Kai Pierce-Paul or Talis Duncan, maybe a Seyfarth. That could also then be money to upgrade someone like maybe a Bostock. With that money, that could be Bostock to Zach Laybutt as well. It could be maybe RTS to Lomax potentially as an option. It just gives me a bit more flexibility. That's one of the things that I do like. And I'll quickly show you guys as well my trade planner spreadsheet. So this is something that I plugged at the beginning of the stream. So hopefully you guys can see this as well. But yeah, this is one of the reasons why I'm thinking maybe going a little bit cheaper with my second front row forward replacement for Jai Arrow. So Spencer Lenu, I already had 130K in the bank. And if you want to see a full tutorial on this, I've got a video in my preseason which goes through this, so I won't do that just now for the interest of time. But I loaded up my round one team. I've got 130K in the bank. That let me do Spencer Lenu to Terrell May easy enough. Which shows up there. So I've used one trade, Terrell May in, out, Spencer Lenu. That leaves me with 32K in the bank. And if I go Jai Arrow to Josh Kerr this week, that frees up 148K in the bank. So then next week, if I don't want to sell any of my other two RFs, if I want to sell Joe Chan, let's say I want to get Kai Pierce-Paul, I've got the money to do that. I have, after that trade, still got 42K in the bank. Whereas, let me just reverse that. If instead of going Josh Kerr, let's say I went Flegler, that only leaves me 22K in the bank, which really isn't a lot of money flexibility-wise. I'd have to move one of Lane, Piakura, Lukey, or Curran to one of those other 300K second row forwards. Or if I wanted to move on Bostock, again, my options aren't great. I don't really have the duels to go Bostock to one of those second row forwards either. So that's kind of why I'm leaning, maybe just going with a cheaper guy. How much different in points is he going to get? Maybe not, like, he'll get a little bit less than Flegler, but he's also like 100+K cheaper. So that's currently what I'm thinking with my two trades for this week. It just gives me that money in the bank to be a bit more flexible. As I said, maybe I keep Joe Chan, maybe he actually turns out to be decent, but Bostock, he is on the buy in round three as well. Bostock to Laybutt is something that I can afford then in round three. I've still got, I'm $2,400 short of doing that. But again, I could maybe create that money by doing something else. I could maybe go, actually don't know where I'd make that money. Maybe it is one of those second or forwards down to a cheaper guy. That might be my best option. So maybe if that is something I want to keep in my mind, maybe I do need to go someone who's a little bit cheaper than Josh Kerr. But again, you can kind of see my rationale as to why I'm thinking of going someone a little bit cheaper in that second front row forward spot. So currently I'm thinking Josh Kerr, but yeah, that's where my head's at the moment with my team. So Moz, how do we access this amazing thing? Yeah, do check out my video, but you can, I've got a web, actually there should be a link in the description below to my website that I made, and I encourage using the web, not the phone, because I think if you use your, if you access the website on your phone, the auto prompt to download the spreadsheet doesn't occur after you make the donation. But I think on the web page it should be working. So check out the website in the description below. There should be a specific tab purely for the trade planner spreadsheet, but it is available there to purchase to donate. One of the things as well, so obviously the prices at the moment are fixed, but from next week on, from round three onwards, they'll start changing. I can change them on my end in my own master spreadsheet, and that should then update to everyone else's spreadsheet as well. So they should be dynamic during the season as well, just in case you're wondering that too. All right, so we've gone for 1 hour, 6 minutes. Given that we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and there's a lot of you watching, which I really, really appreciate, I will give about 5 to 10 minutes just to go through your questions, guys, so get them in there. If there's anything else that I haven't covered in the stream, we'll hopefully cover it off just now as well. But yeah, do please give the stream a like as well if you have enjoyed it. Kerr does have the buy in round 3. That is right, Supergun. So again, in round 3, so you can see in my trade planner spreadsheet, you can see that I've got a buy there for Josh Kerr. He's not going to be playing in that week. So what I would do to remedy that is I'd probably just play maybe Sam Hughes. He's playing the Titans, maybe some attacking stats, or I maybe just play Liam Henry. Again, we can see what either of those two get this week, but if it's only for the 1 week, then I don't mind it. Kerr does have the Titans in round 4. Maybe he jags another attacking stat. Maybe and then he's got the Tigers in round 5. So look, maybe there's some attacking stats on offer for Josh Kerr in the future, but that's probably more just confirmation bias for myself. Hey man, if you needed to choose between Talamara and Eisenhuth, would I go RFM? Yes, Ben, I think I would still go RFM over Eisenhuth, purely because I think RFM showed a bit more of a supercoach friendly game. He was offloading a bit more tackle busts, whereas Eisenhuth was more just meat potatoes, straight base stats. So at least if they're both getting equal reduced minutes, I suspect that Faitala Mariner is going to get you a bit more points in that time. So I'd probably still lean Faitala Mariner. Did I talk about Moses, or is he a wait and see? Steve, just let me know, is this for a buy or for a sell? Moses has been named this week. I think he put a quote out saying that he should be good to go against the Panthers. So I think if you own Moses, probably seems like he's going to be fine. You always knew that this week was going to be a tougher week as well against the Panthers, but it's the draw pass this week that you probably wanted Moses for as well. So I'd probably give him one more week, but again, if he stinks it up this week and then his break even becomes really, really high, then you know his appeal gets dented because you wanted him for his cash growth up to maybe someone like a Cleary. So maybe then you just make some plans again. Maybe you do some trades this week that free up some money to maybe help you go from Moses up to someone like a Cleary. Or maybe you can even get like a Luke Brooks. He's available at halfback as well. So you can maybe even just give it a week and then maybe you just go Moses to Luke Brooks. VC loop options. Yeah, so I think if I wanted to VC loop this week, well, that's tough because the only guy who's not playing is Arrow. So maybe what I could do is then just sell, I could sell Arrow to, I could do that. So if you own Spencer Lenu or Jai Arrow, let me maybe just show you this. Let me go to Terrell May back to Spencer Lenu. I think I can search here. Where are you going? Filter. Let me just filter for the Roosters. So let's just say I go back to Spencer Lenu, complete the trade. Yes, confirm, confirm. So the Roosters don't play until Sunday. So what you could do is if you've got, like if you're in my situation, I've got both of these guys out. So let's say I want Terrell May in, that's a guarantee, and I have to do Arrow out because he plays the first game. I can just do Arrow out for Terrell May for the time being. Let's do that, done. Let's complete that trade. So then what I could do is I could just leave my team like this, let Hines play on Friday. And if he goes and absolutely kills it, I can just keep the captaincy on Spencer Lenu. And I'm not actually even changing any of my reserves, because I wasn't planning to reserve one of Sam Hughes or Liam Henry. My reserves will be Lukey, Smithies, Cleary, and then my other fullback. So that's actually probably how I would play it, Mr. Callio. I'd probably just do a captaincy on Spencer Lenu and get that loop that way. So that's probably what I would do in that situation. Gagai or Bostock as a last reserve this week. I wouldn't love to play Bostock most weeks just because he's got pretty bad base. Obviously, Bostock has got a better matchup this week against the Dragons at home. But Gagai, let me have a quick look here. He based 26 last week. What did Bostock base you? 21. It's not that different, to be honest. I think I would just back the guy playing on the better team. So I think I would probably just go Gagai in that situation. Fatapi or Gagai last reserve. I'm heap sus. If you want to go back in the stream earlier, I do talk about Fatapi a little bit. I don't love him as a trade in this week because I think he's just sitting on this spot for one round. And then I think Justin Olam is going to come back and take that position. Ian, as I've said, I think I would actually just do Spencer Lenu captain. And then maybe, because I actually don't mind that because I'm still getting Tyrell May and all of the other front row forward options, I don't know if I love. So if Hines goes like maybe 70 points and I don't want to loop him, then I would just do Spencer Lenu out for probably Josh Kerr. He also plays on the Sunday. So I might just leave it that way. So I've actually in my own situation lucked out with some flexibility there. Need to sell either Hughes or Henry to bring in Tyrell May. Who do I think? That's not an easy one to answer. Not an easy one. Hughes, how many minutes did he play? I think he played 30 minutes? Played 27 minutes. Henry, I think I would sell Henry just because even though he played more minutes, I think part of that could have been due to the rotation. We've got Scott Sorensen back in this week. Matt Eisenhuth has dropped out, which probably helps Henry's minutes this week as well, but I think Hughes just seems to be probably the guy who I'd prefer to keep out of the two, more Supercoach-friendly game. That's not an easy one. Viliama Fifita to Kai Pierce-Paul. Yes, I think it's a pretty good upgrade. Patrick, thoughts on KPP? I've got a lot of thoughts on him early in the stream, so I'd probably just recommend going back and watching that a little bit earlier. Bradman Best trade out for Labor. We'll have 660k in the bank. Don't mind that move, Campbell. I think you're going to get similar output from the pair of them, but much cheaper price. But again, it's one I'd probably want to wait a week on just to see what happens with Laybot. And Bradman Best could still do well this week. Sorry, Man, first you're playing Supercoach. What's the looping you're talking about? So this is the whole vice-captain loophole, which basically means that you can captain a guy in your team who's not playing this week, and then it means you get your vice-captain score doubled. So in this situation, what we're talking about is if Nico Hines, who I've got playing on, he's playing Friday 6 o'clock, if he goes absolutely huge, let's say he scores 180 points and I want to get his points doubled up. What I would do then is I would remove the captaincy from Turbo and I would captain Spencer Lenu. Spencer Lenu is guaranteed to not play this week, and that's very important. You can't put it on a reserve. You need to put it on someone who's not going to play this week at all. Spencer Lenu suspended, so that's easy. I would just captain Spencer Lenu, and then what that means is by the end of the week, because he's not playing, my vice-captain gets recognized and gets the double points, which is the 180 points times two that I'm looking for. So that's kind of a little bit on that. Who gets Lenu's points? Lowest scoring front row forward, haven't played in years. I've just explained that. Nothing compares. Hughes building for more minutes. Yep. If I still have Willison, do I just sell to Henry? Against Deezers, I think this one is purely based on what do you think you're going to have to do next week in your team. If you think it's going to be a if you think you've got three other trades next week, then I think it's probably fine to maybe sell Willison. He hasn't been named again. Otherwise, maybe you could wait a week. But that's kind of how I'd break it down. If you think you've got three other more trades next week, then I think sell Willison, and you'll get a guy who's actually playing. All right, we'll do a couple of more questions because it's already set 7:45 and I want to eat some dinner. let's find a couple more. Aman, your Galvin pick last week is going to be studied in 1,000 years. Oh, look, don't talk it up too much. let's hope that he actually sticks in the 17 for the Tigers. Need validation on selling Hines. Look, maybe we can reassess next week if he goes low again and he's got a super, super high break even. But when he's got the Bulldogs this week, I cannot trade him. Even if he's got the West Tigers, and then he's got the West Tigers in round three again, even if he's got a really high break even, Hines is one of those guys who I don't look at as someone who, you're not getting value for money from Hines, you're getting points from him. Your value comes from like these mid-range 2RFs, mid-range front row forwards, cheapy center wings. But your points is from your halves, Cleary Hines, and it's from your fullbacks, Turbo Ponga. It's okay if these guys have got higher break evens at points, because at the end of the day, you want the points from them. Arrow for Jensen. McClay, I've got a lot of thoughts on the front row forward, so I would probably just advise to go back and listen through that section again, just because it's probably too much to repeat here again, but we did go a lot into front row forwards. Will Kennedy thoughts? I just think there's too many way better options at fullback to be considering over Kennedy. I know the draw is good on paper the next 2 weeks, but he scored 23 points last week. Just, yeah, not interested for me. All right, guys, I think I will probably leave it there. Hopefully, I've been able to address most of the questions during the stream. It's been going on for about an hour, 17 minutes, but I don't think it dropped out today in the stream, which I'm very happy about. The new settings must have worked, and also I don't think anyone used the microwave, thank God. But yeah, thank you everyone for tuning in. Really, really appreciate it. Do give the stream a like on the way out. Do please consider subscribing as well if you are a new listener. Retweets and everything are much appreciated. Follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter, all that good stuff. And yeah, we'll leave it there. Hopefully we come back on Thursday evening for a lockout live stream as well. A bit more of a dedicated Q&A. So I'll definitely try to get more of your questions done at that time. But hopefully you all enjoyed. See you all in the next one and have a good night. Cheers.